It's easy to introduce bias in a small sample size like 13 committee members rather than a larger sample size. That's what I'm concerned a little bit about.
I'm concerned about that, too. I mean, I know that there might be some great conversation in the room, and the smaller the group, maybe that helps facilitate the conversation. But you're right. There's a lot of power wielded by a select few. And as long as they're doing it sensibly, I don't think I have those concerns. One thing that I was concerned about when the ideas of the playoff committee were first being formed was whether there was going to be whether it was going to be any statistical bent at all. And I do know that they're going to be having a great deal of data at their fingertips. I believe that they're going to be equipped with the tools necessary to interpret that data and make good decisions, not just based on what their eyeballs see watching games. I know that they're going to have to do a lot of that, and I know that they will, but also understanding what's happening in front of them and how do teams measure up. And there's just a lot of perspectives on that, and I'm hopeful that it's going to be done well, but we'll, of course, see as the season progresses.
And, you know, it's not an easy job, and I think that's one because the popularity of the game of college football is at an all-time high, and there's so much interest in it. I know that there's a thin line that you walk with those four teams, and you don't want to make this fan base or this conference upset. So they've got a really impossible task where we won't complain because somebody's going to complain. 5, 6, 7 is going to complain. 8, 9 may have an argument as well. Depends on the factors there. But I want to work our way to the Football Outsiders. The .com is the website, but you guys have put together a great almanac, helps us predict 2014, what we can anticipate. Sort of walk us through the basics of the almanac, and then we'll get to some of the information inside.
Sure. Football Outsiders has a great group of NFL writers and statisticians, but also a few of us on the college football side. And the almanac is both pieces. If people are interested, just go to footballoutsiders.com. You'll see lots of information about how to get the almanac. It's a downloadable PDF. There's a college-only version of it that's available for just $5. So it's real easy to get. And the writers, including myself, who contributed to that, are also Bill Connolly and Matt Hinton, certainly respected college football writers. Bill and I did all the statistical work. Bill's play-by-play data and my drive data feeds our projections, and we write up the Big Five conferences and some of the major players outside of those Big Five conferences that people are going to have to pay attention to this year. Team by team, we project everything from their offense, their defense, to what their projected, you know, bell curve of probable wins are going to be. Most teams are going to fall into the meat of that curve, but we project the likelihood of every team to have any number of different records, and all that data is packed in there.
I love it. I mean, I absolutely love the information that's within this publication. When you sent it to me and I said, man, I was in New York City on a little bit of a vacation and I couldn't get away from the PC because I was looking at the numbers, trying to compile and look at Alabama's predictions for upcoming 2014. Let me just ask you point blank, what do you think about Alabama in 2014 as far as the predictions and the analysis tells us?
The numbers love Alabama, and that shouldn't be surprising if you understand where they're coming from. A big component of the projection model is success over several years leading up to this year. It's not just what did you do last year. It's not just what are the recruits that you have on the team look like. Although in Alabama's case, there's nobody better. Alabama's had tremendous success over the last 5 years, and that's the window of time we're taking a look at. And the last year ended on a disappointing note. As far as statistically, they were fantastic. They were the number two team in our combined F plus ratings last year, even with those that pair of losses at the end of the year. So the numbers are projecting them to be one of the best teams of the country. Actually, they're number two behind Florida State, but it's pretty close, and they're certainly the clear favorite to win the SEC. I know Auburn fans are not too thrilled with these projections, and certainly think that we're severely underrating them. To be perfectly honest, I think we actually are pretty high on Auburn. We're just not high on their possibilities for success because of the schedule strength. They play a brutal schedule. Alabama has some top opponents, but not nearly as many as Auburn. And the Crimson Tide are going to run away with it if our projections are right.
And let me just break up the Auburn Tigers. If I'm understanding this correctly, the record that you have as far as projecting them, you've got the number 9 Auburn Tigers 8-4 in 2014. I'm just going to say this. You'll become very popular in Tuscaloosa if that's true.
Yeah, and not so popular in the other direction, right? We have They play a loaded schedule, and some, you know, there's a colleague that is not for Football Outsiders, but I read a great article today by Ed Fang of the Power Rank, which breaks down Auburn. They were fortunate to be with the record that they had last year, and they're coming back with about as tough of an SEC schedule as it gets. If they're playing Georgia and South Carolina cross division, that's too much to handle. We don't necessarily pick out the four losses, and as I mentioned earlier, there's a distribution of possible records. We don't think that Auburn has a shot at going undefeated in the regular season because of that schedule, and the meat of the curve is going to be in that 8-4, 9-3 range, and certainly that's where I think we expect them to fall, and that could be a top 10 team for sure. It's just not going to be one that's going to be in the playoff, I don't think.
Let's look at the SEC Eastern side. Who do you like on the SEC Eastern side? Who's projected to do well?
We like South Carolina. We like Georgia, as I mentioned. The numbers like Missouri a little more than I think my gut does. We're kind of down on Florida. And again, that five-year trend is not helping so much in their favor. They had such a bad year last year, and they too play a tough schedule. I mean, they play Florida State out of conference, so they've got a loaded schedule too. I do think it's going to come down to South Carolina, Georgia. I give the edge to South Carolina. I know they lost some of the names, you know, that kind of the top of the list that everybody is aware of. Who are the South Carolina Gamecocks that everybody is aware of? Those guys are gone, but they return so much depth, and they have a schedule that's kind of paved the way, and at least the projection model, to being the SEC East champion. And then it's just one game against the top of the West, and the winner of the SEC is going to be in the playoff. At least we think so.
We're talking about the Football Almanac, and we're talking to Brian Freemo right now, ESPN insider and a guy that does a lot of statistical work, and you can find more information there at the website. We're talking about footballoutsiders.com, and we're talking about the Almanac predicting Alabama to be the best team in the SEC. So let me just ask you, top four teams right now, we know Florida State, we know Alabama, who's the other two that you guys like?
The numbers love Oregon and Oklahoma, although I'll put an asterisk on both of them. In terms of Oregon's case, our numbers are pretty high on Stanford, and Stanford's had their number the last couple of times they've played. So it's sort of a show, prove it before we really go all in on the Ducks. We have them with a 40% chance of making the playoff, which is pretty darn good. I think it's the third best opportunity according to our projections. But they've got that showdown in the Pac-12. And to be honest, the Pac-12 is pretty tough across the board, and a two-loss conference champion might be on the outside looking in when the playoff committee sits down to meet. So Oregon's going to have some trouble. In Oklahoma's case, I think they're the clear-cut favorite in the Big 12. We think it's a really strong second tier in that league, but Oklahoma's kind of head and shoulders above the rest. I think even more so than Oregon, they don't have an opportunity to slip up. I don't think an 11-1 Big 12 team is going to get the same consideration at the end of the year. It's going to take an undefeated record in that conference to safely put them in the playoffs. So those are our four teams. I don't think we're going too far out on a limb with those four. I wouldn't say we're 100% confident by any means. I think there's going to be a surprise or two in there, but those are the four best bets from our perspective.
So does it look like chaos at the end of the season trying to select four teams?
To a degree, it's going to be. I think the real interesting debates are going to come down to that 1-2 loss group. And we had it last year with the idea, you know, if there was a 4-team playoff last year, would it have been Michigan State? Would it have been Stanford, who played a really tough schedule but had an extra loss? What are the teams? How is the committee going to weigh that strength of schedule argument against just the flat-out record? I think the consensus of two or three of the top four is going to be there. There's going to be an obvious set of three teams to select. It's that fourth spot that's going to be down to maybe three or four teams that have a good argument. And you mentioned someone's going to be unhappy. It's one of the Power Five conference leagues is going to be unhappy because at least one of them is not going to be in the playoff this coming year. And if that sets a trend where, let's say, the Big Ten is left out this year, and certainly internally they're going to feel like, what do you mean? We're one of the best leagues in the country. We have this, that, and the other. And that's going to be an annual argument with only four teams.
I go back and look at the predictions, and this is not to put you on the spot, but do you ever go back and sort of test your statistical analysis to see how accurate they are?
We do. You know, the model is based off of previous seasons' success. So the projections, if we applied it to each of the previous years, we think we would have done pretty well. I'm not saying, again, that we would have picked every team, you know, 1 through 128. by any means. What we're trying to get is the most of those teams correct. Last year's a great example of we were off the mark. We were pretty high on Florida, not necessarily in the top two or three, but high on Florida, and we weren't particularly high on Auburn. And, of course, those two, in the SEC's case, were completely the opposite of expected. We do think we do a pretty good job of getting most teams right, and that's really what our goal is as far as the projection model is concerned. There are some safe bets. I mean, Florida State's a good example of that. I'm really going to be surprised if at the end of the year they're not undefeated, because they are projected to be so much stronger than most of their opponents. They proved it last year by winning nearly every game by four touchdowns. That's a team that feels like the safest bet to be undefeated at the end of the year, but college football is unpredictable. This game isn't played on paper. It's not played in our computer spreadsheets, and for as much work that we do to try to get it right, we know we're going to be wrong and in some cases, and that's kind of the fun of the sport. So, we're confident that we've got a good set of projections, but looking forward to seeing both the hits and the misses this year.
Are you going to make a lot of Alabama fans happy? FootballOutsiders.com. He picks Alabama to do well and Auburn to do an 8-4 season as far as the predictions. And there's some margin of error, plus and minus there. I go back to another article that you put out July the 10th on ESPN.com. Alabama projected as the best program over the next three seasons. We had Tom Luganville on to talk about this, but I'd like for you to dive into the numbers. You like Alabama not just in 2014, but in the years to come as well.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting project they asked me to take a look at, because they had a team of experts basically make their best guesses about the next 3 years and then wanted a statistical approach. What I do with my program data is I try to measure five-year trend lines. I've actually got, for all of the Power Conference teams on my site, bcftoys.com, I've got 25-year trend lines that was a factor in this next 3 years projection. And Alabama, again, they've had such a strong last five seasons. Again, last season's a disappointment, but 5 years in a row, they've played and won three national championships. They've lost a grand total of, what is it, eight games or something like that. They are the power program. They have all the recruits coming in that anyone could ever want. They're just built for success. So for sure, they're the best bet for being the strongest program over the next three seasons. It doesn't necessarily mean they're the best bet to win a national title in each of those years by any means, but they ought to be there in the end and in the conversation year over year. They were last year until the final week of the year, and I expect they will be again this year.
You know, my wife has never met Brian Freemoge, but she probably hates you because I was on vacation and you shipped this magazine to me via the email. A little bit of that quality time went down to this magazine, Football Outsiders College Football Almanac. No offense, now she really doesn't hate you, but she, what are you reading? What do you keep looking at? Well, I'm a statistical nerd, and that's okay. I mean, it's just part of us that love the numbers game, and I think it really tells the big story. Football Outsiders College Football Almanac. Brian, give us one more time. Give us the information how we can get in touch. And you said only $5. I mean, that's less than a burger at McDonald's. I mean, that's a great
right.
price.
That's right. It is a great price. Go to footballoutsiders.com. There's a link at the top for the online store, but you'll see information right there on the front of the page about downloading the almanac. And yeah, the college football portion of it's only $5. You can buy the whole almanac for not much more than that, which includes all the NFL content that you would want. But definitely go to footballoutsiders.com and check it out.
And the writers there, Bill Conley, also Brian Fremo helping us out, and Matt Hinton. I was just about to lost his name. Matt Hinton putting together the article, the football almanac, and you can also visit the website, footballoutsiders.com. You can also connect with Brian on the Twitter account, and you can connect with us, and we'll put all that information in just a couple of minutes. Brian, thanks so much, and I hope South Bend is excited about college football as we are here in Tuscaloosa. I know that's where you make your home.
Yeah, we definitely get excited here in South Bend. We've got a tough schedule ahead of us as well, so I'm not sure that the playoff will be in Notre Dame's future this coming season, but certainly getting excited for football season.